Welcome to the InnovaBuzz podcast, where our job is to help you build visibility, professional credibility, and connection with your ideal client by putting the human at the center of innovative marketing, so you can build and strengthen an engaging, enduring relationship with your ideal clients. I'm Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz, and I'm honored that you're here with me. If you haven't joined our wonderful marketing transformation community yet, go to innovabiz.co and collect your free gift as well. Do subscribe to the show and also leave a review because it helps others find us. Let's get into today's masterclass on this InnovaBuzz podcast.
Don't be boring. And boring means one note, talking the same, always on the same level, same thing all the time. It's really sweet. It's very proper, but you will snooze them out. So remember, you need to have a variety of sounds. Even if it's uncomfortable for you, you have to exaggerate when it comes to the camera because a big, huge portion of it gets just lost.
Welcome back. I hope you've had an awesome week so far. If you haven't yet listened to my recent conversations with Book, Speak, Repeat founder Kerry Heaps and founder of Splashio, Gideon Shelwick, then go check them out. Only after you've listened to today's conversation, though. I'm really excited to have on the InnovaBuzz podcast as my guest today, camera confidence coach Lisa Monette, who teaches, speaks, and consults on how to level up your camera confidence, your speaking voice, and your best look on camera, in business and in your life. After many years of owning a successful business and working with top entrepreneurs, Lisa has developed a system to help you gain more charisma, more dynamic energy when you go live on video. And she certainly displayed all of that in today's show, even though it is only an audio show. The Badass Live Video Method is one of her signature programs. In our discussion today, Lisa talked to me about being authentic and congruent in your videos and ditching the notes. We talked about knowing your audience by asking lots of questions. And she explained why you need a Wilson. Hint, think Castaway. Without further ado, then, let's fly into the hive and get the buzz from Lisa Monette. Hi, I'm your host, Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz, and I'm really excited to welcome to the InnovaBuzz podcast today from Las Vegas in the USA, Lisa Monette, who's founder of Ola Makeup and Badass TV. Welcome to the InnovaBuzz podcast, Lisa. It's a great privilege to have you as my guest.
Hey, hello. It's Badass Beauty TV, just to make it clear.
Sorry about that.
<That's> okay.
Now, Greg Rollett, who was our guest on episode 253 of the InnovaBuzz podcast, suggested that we have a conversation with you, Lisa. So a big shout out to Greg.
Yeah, cool. I love Greg. He's so good. He's so good at what he does with video.
All right. Now, I'm really excited to talk a lot about video and what you've been doing and how you got from being an airline hostess to makeup and television production and makeup in TV and now to video and using video to market. So that's an exciting journey. But before we start talking all things video and those kind of things, give us a bit of a whistle-stop tour of your background. I've kind of glossed over it there a little bit.
Oh, I love it. Whistle stop. God, it's so cute, the just different ways of speaking English, isn't it? It's lovely. We have the British, we've got the American. Yeah, I was born in Hollywood, Los Angeles. You know, I grew up in a really entertainment capital. And, you know, I've always just had a passion my whole life for being creative and helping people look good, sound good, I grew up dancing, and I also grew up studying a lot of transformation. So, you know, the beauty industry and the transformation world has always intrigued me. You know, my mother owned beauty salons when I was growing up, but my dad was a captain in the LAPD. So I had this, you know, side of me that was serious about making sure things would get done. And then I was this creative person. So yeah, the journey's been very interesting. That's leading me to where I'm at right now.
So what is it you do today?
You know, what happened is that I've been in the makeup industry a long time. Well, after I was a flight attendant, just so you know, that's our way of saying it over here. I like the hostess is cute too. they used to be hostesses and stewardesses and stewards, but now after all the, you know, drama in the air, it became emergency type of thing. So when I left the airline, I really got, you know, heavy into the makeup world. But then this is the cool part. About 6 years ago, I started following Brendon Burchard. Do you know Brendon Burchard?
Mm.
Tony Robbins, guys that are doing a lot of, you know, transformational online marketing. So I started really looking, how could I expand out what I was doing with the makeup world and the training and you know, working with photography and things. And I started, and I've always been obsessed with films and entertainment and what causes people to sound great. Why, like, your voice is unique, you know, my voice is unique. And so what happened is I started to see everyone was going online. More people were doing video. Even my friends that are CEOs of corporations and companies, now they're going, we've got to do more video. You know, it's not the same, you know, the same world. And now with the pandemic, it's really great timing. So I started, you know, studying with one of the top celebrity voice coaches. I started really looking like, how can I use my experience and also help business owners and entrepreneurs, you know, sound better when they're speaking on camera, and how can they, you know, get their message out, their business out, their training out. So I just decided to do that. I started a few years ago on that. And I have a system now that's called Come Alive on Camera. So that's, it's all kind of been, you know, it's led up to, how do you look? How do you sound? Are you fun? Are people listening to you? What causes us to even take action, you know, with our business teams and our colleagues and even our family? So that's where I'm at right now.
Yeah, that's fascinating. There's a lot there to unpack in terms of getting on video. A lot of people, well, most people realize today that video online is really important to get engagement with your audience and to share more of yourself, if you like. But a lot of people worry about how they look on video and often then come across, if they do it at all, often that becomes a barrier for them to do it. But if they then do it, it's kind of doesn't really showcase them in their best light and doesn't get that engagement. So what are some of your tips to help them overcome the barrier, first of all, and then perhaps look natural and be themselves on camera?
That is such a great question. And that really is the question of the current mode right now of what's going on. Because the old school is you'd have a videographer come in, take your video, you'd be reading some script, you'd be reading, trying to read a teleprompter, trying to look natural, you know, you're in this stuffy thing, someone would edit it, you know, and here would be this corporate video. Or there'd be people that you'd see them just doing, you know, crazy things on, I don't know, on TikTok, or, you know, just being goofy on cameras. Now we really get it that businesses need to really be on the video. So to answer your question, the biggest challenge people have is a couple things. They're judging themselves. They get all up in their head. So a tip on going, you know, live on video or pre, it doesn't matter if it's live or pre-recorded. I mean, the pre-recorded can be edited, but what we want to do is we want to capture you being real, just like me and you are talking right now, right? We don't have a script. We're just chatting. We've got, you know, we want to move the audience in some way. That's the same thing with the camera. But a tip is you need to have practice. You've got to work with someone. You have to work with either a voice coach or a video coach or you know, people that know how to help you look better on camera, not just friends and stuff, but people that can help you get grounded. So another tip is to get grounded and relaxed, but you got to know what you're talking about, meaning you got to practice a little bit. You practice talking into your phone. You practice on a video on your cell phone and then just erase it. And I don't care if you're in corporate or you're an entrepreneur or you're on a dating site. It's all the same. It's you showing up so real that people go, God, I want to be with this person. And a lot of people get, you know, they get stuck in their head. How do I look? Do I sound right? And all of it's the focus on themselves. So the big tip is what are you doing? Focusing out on your audience. That's when they're going to start to trust you. And what's trending now, which is funny, I heard someone say the other day, it's kind of scrappy, meaning we don't have to all be so perfect. I don't know about you guys, but in Australia with the pandemic, didn't your newscasters and TV shows all like start recording out of their bedroom and their garages? And
I mean, yeah, that's right.
That just lowered the playing field internationally. Where we all go, whoa, 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 wait a minute. We all are on television right now because they just look like us and we look like them. And I actually had better lighting than some of ABC did. So,
but not only that, you see some of the people that you've been watching for years on television, you see them recording from their home and you think, oh, they're real people. They've got challenges like I've got challenges. There's a little kid walking across the back of the room.
Yes, there's a dog barking. Yeah, they said Dr. Phil, do you know who Dr. Phil is? You know, he's on.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he was in his kitchen. I go, what is he doing? His face is greasy. It's red. His wife had the camera sideways. I'm going, it was ugly. The background, I go, oh my God. And I'm going, you don't do that. It looks so bad. And I thought, you know, this is good. Now we can help everybody look good on camera.
There's a great tip in that, in not worrying about yourself and focusing on the audience, being present for the audience. One of the challenges I find, and I'm pretty sure that I know a lot of my clients feel the same way, and I'm pretty sure that a lot of people have this. If I'm having a conversation like we are right now, I find it quite easy. And I'm not conscious of it being recorded. I mean, I'm conscious of bringing out your best value for my audience and for the listener so that they're getting value from this conversation. But I'm not conscious about this being anything other than a conversation between two people. When I'm just doing a presentation to camera and it's me doing a solo podcast episode even or on a camera, it feels so much different because there's not that two-way interaction.
What does it feel like to you when you do that? Like, what's it feel like?
Well, I guess I'm probably internal. I'm thinking of myself a little bit. I mean, I do things like, okay, imagine my ideal client or imagine the person I'm actually speaking to. But even that is, it's still something going on in my head rather than outside.
Yep, there is something going on in your head, so that's good. But see, the deal is the whole situation I found by getting better on camera is that you have to practice, and you have to practice, you know, really knowing your stuff, having not reading a script, but actually doing these kind of dress rehearsals just with yourself, and then practicing with your dog, with the mirror, you know, just getting out stuff. And then you can then practicing in front of the camera, not running it at all. So that when you then throw away all those notes or have them or have bullet points, you know, to the side, so that when that camera goes on, you really look at that lens as if it is really important people. Like some people say talk to one person, other people say talk to thousands. I don't really look at it like that. I'm looking at the camera right now talking to you. Like, just, you know, there's no camera there. I'm pretending right where my light is. And I'm just going to, I know my stuff and I'm talking to this thing. Do you remember the movie with Tom Hanks? Was it Stranded or he was stuck on the island?
Oh, yeah. Where he's talking to Wilson, the basketball.
Yeah. My maiden name was Wilson. So he's talking to Wilson. Like, how crazy is that? But that kept his brain going. So you know what? You might need a Wilson. You might. And you have to not take it serious either. What happens is people, especially if they're a little bit more analytical, which I'm kind of hearing you say a little bit, or people that are kind of more introverts, or, you know, they're more fact-oriented versus like outgoing, you know, there's different styles of personality. is that you have to really like dance a little bit before or loosen up. You know, you got to get grounded. You don't just go and talk. That's like running a marathon without warming up. So there's preparation techniques of getting grounded. Everyone's different. You might need some upbeat music. You might need calm music. You know, you might need to do voice exercises. I teach a few things on breathing. Most people don't speak well because they run out of oxygen. Mm-hmm. So they talk like this and they have a lot to say. And then they kind of go like this. They get squeaky right here. It's this thing they do that they lose the, you know, the sound. You're a podcaster, so you're used to hearing sounds. But when people get to the camera, they get the camera confused and then they run out. They forget to breathe. They forget to pause, you know, just like right now I'm thinking, you know, a comma, and it's okay to have some empty space. So it's a dance, and unless you're, you know, Brad Pitt or a professional speaker, you know, like you're a movie star and you just know, nobody should be using teleprompters. You know, you're not a professional actor. You're a person talking about the stuff that you know and you love. So I think it's practice is a lot, and the right kind of practice. That's what I do. I really work with people. Most of my training, my coaching that I do with my clients is that it's in their head. It's just what you said. How do I look? How do I sound? Who's going to judge me? No one likes the sound of their voice, rarely. And no one likes to look at themselves on camera. But if you can look better on camera with better lighting, you know, even if it's in a natural setting, you're going to go, well, that was kind of cool. So it takes practice.
Yeah, there's lots of great advice there. And I like the idea of ditching the script. You mentioned that perfectionism is one thing that people strive for in this. And I think perfectionism gets in the way of a lot of things. And you were talking about how our kind of professional television stars, now that they've had to do shows from their home, are actually embracing that vulnerability of things will go wrong here or everything's not set up perfectly the way I'm used to. And so I was listening to something the other day where somebody said, well, you know, you can have a bullet point list and you can actually check your notes and you can say, as you're presenting on camera, you can say, let me just check my notes quickly to make sure I'm covering off all the points. And people are quite comfortable with you doing that. It doesn't have to be this like 10-minute, absolutely perfectly scripted. I think if you take that approach, it kind of removes one of the barriers as well. So, well, I'll just do this video quickly.
Well, do you remember, I don't know if you remember Johnny Carson show or, you know, Jay Leno or any of that, you know, there's like the talk shows in the United States, but, or any talk show host, but even Jimmy Fallon, they would have, here's what we know about, they had like notes in front of them on their guests. They weren't even using teleprompter. They had like 5x7 cards that were, then they'd throw the card on the floor, like, forget the cards, let's just talk, you know? So there's many ways to be. You can have a whiteboard behind you. You can have sticky notes. People just want real, you know, they just, and now because of the internet and because of so much information, we are so different than we were 10 years ago or 20 years ago. We're bombarded with information. So I think it's fine to just pull up stuff so you don't have to try so hard. And if you have a note, like you could pull up the sticky note, like you said, or I do. I also put sticky notes around my ring light, my light. So the people don't see the notes, but I see the notes and I'll go, oh, there's that note. And it's cheating really well. And I go, there it is. There it is. There it is. Like, you know, and then it'll drop on the floor by accident. I went, oh, I lost the note. But I know when I practice, and my practicing isn't to sound the same when I get on. My practicing is just to get like the information in my brain. Then I throw it all away, turn on the camera and go, let's see what comes out. The nuggets are enough. We don't have to have, and you know, they've done that study. I don't know what year it was back. I don't know, Stanford or UCLA or something, that they really study communication. And obviously they came to the conclusion that people hear you two different ways. Listen to this one. People read words and they only capture about 8% of what you're trying to say. And if somebody sends you a text versus a video or an audio, if somebody sends you a text, the person receiving it is only, they're going to hear it in relationship to where they're at. So if you're really stressed right now and I send you a, you know, a text that say, hey, get over here, we're having dinner, and you're stressed, you could hear, hey, get over here, we're having dinner. Instead of if you're happy, you could hear, hey, get over here, we're all having dinner. So being physical and using your body language, it people can hear the message more. You know, like me and you right now, we're just using one of our senses. So this is an interesting thing. But if we had a video of me and you, our listeners would even hear more. You know what I mean? They'd have a different listening of it. So meaning that communication, it isn't about the words. It's not about the words. It's not about your script. It's about how authentic and how passionate are you. Is it landing for those people on the other side? Because your words are nothing. It's like one note on a piano. Who cares about your words? But how you sound is what makes you a good speaker.
Yeah, hey, sound and also the physical appearance is so important, isn't it? Because there's all the visual cues that come across.
And yeah, I guess it doesn't matter if you're into fashion or not. It's just be physical of what it is, the subject. Be congruent. If you're out there talking about, you know, machinery, then you're not dressed in an Armani suit or a bathing suit. But if you're out on the beach and you're sailing, talking about, you know, waves and surfing and natural healing and nature, you're going to, you know what I mean? You have to kind of look, be congruent for what your message is. So if messy is one thing, but my house, another tip, this is really important to me that I always try to help people when they're doing their videos, especially live, you know, on Facebook, try to make your set where you're at not have a lot of distractions. So if I watch you, I don't make me run a marathon or get on a treadmill to watch you. I'm like, oh my God, he's got a tree crawling out of his head. He's got dog barking on the left. I mean, you know, like make your set kind of like, we want to look at you, not your house and 5,000 books, you know, make it look cleaner, a little easy to watch you. That's a big tip.
Yeah. That's a big one. And I've just I'll reveal my secret here. I've just put a shower curtain of a slate wall behind me here in my office, which I can use as my backdrop. And so it's clean and not distracting. And it saves me from cleaning up all the stuff that I dump on the desk behind me there every time I want to do a video.
Is that the one that you have when I saw you, when we first met each other, when we just were checking in here? You had like some backdrop behind you, like brick or something.
That was the one.
Oh my God, that was your bathroom? No,
well.
You said that wasn't your bathroom. It was a shower curtain or a curtain.
It's a shower curtain that I've put up in my office, yeah.
I will not tell anyone. See, who cares? I thought you really were in a set. You fooled me. I'm impressed. Oh my God, that was so great.
Well, I have to give a shout out to Steve Sims, who we've had on the podcast. I can't remember his episode now, but he had a backdrop that, I thought it was a rusty tin wall. It looked really cool. And I said, oh, I love your backdrop. And he showed me what it was. He revealed the secret. And I thought, that is so cool. I'm going to have to do that myself. I'll steal
that. Oh my God. I think he has it in his garage or something, right? Because I think I saw him.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
Do we not love Steve Sims? Oh my God. I just started, you know, knowing him and I know his film guy and it's just, he's just so fun to listen to.
He is,
so
yeah.
That's the kind of people I hang with, Steve Sims type. I love
Wonderful.
It.
Yeah. All right. Coming back to the idea of practice, one of the things I found, be interested in your view on this is there's a bunch of video tools where you can do screen capture, but you can also put yourself on your webcam that integrate with the browser and you can send a short video message in email. And I've started doing that a lot more. First of all, it's really easy to do. Secondly, without thinking a lot about it, I just, okay, I've got a message I want to send by email to this person. I'll just do it on video. And to me, that's kind of an easy way to just practice getting on video and being yourself.
Yeah, it's great. You can whatever you want to use. If you're on Facebook Messenger, there's video in there. If you have a screen that you're saying, it's right there. You can take your cell phone out as long as you don't make it too long, you know, make it under a minute, like, you know, 45 seconds, a minute or so on your cell phone. You can just send a text with a little video. You can, you know, that's what I was, what I loved about Steve Sims. It's like, how can we be interesting to, you know, shock people? I'm in a big group right now, a challenge online with thousands of people, and I'm instant messaging people with audio, and they'll go, where did you learn to do that? Well, the button's been there, people, for 10 years, and they are shocked. They're going, oh my God, it's only 59 seconds, right? It's 1 minute, but you can do as many as you want. And people are shocked. They go, how did you do that? I'm like, it's right there. I just pressed the button. I'm tired of typing. It's only 8% by words. Don't you want to hear by 55%? It's better.
Love it.
32% is the body, but 50 is the energy. Well, it's somewhere around there.
All right. So in terms of being compelling and getting engagement on video, do you have any other tips? So being natural, bringing that energy to bear, thinking, getting outside of your own head and thinking of the audience itself. Are there any other tips in terms of how do you actually get people to then engage with that video, such as making a comment on it or giving you feedback, asking you those sort of questions? Oh, how did you do that?
Well, what I do when I interact with people, I absolutely talk, like you're talking about doing like a Facebook Live or a live video, right? Not a pre-recorded video. Yeah, let's just talk.
Well, live either
video.
Or, yeah.
Yeah, either or. But when you're doing live, it's really exciting because they're really there, right? You know, right at that moment versus pre-recorded. But it doesn't matter. Even if it's pre-recorded, you can have a shout out that you want to ask them a question that would, you know, engage them to want to answer. So you have to think of what is your audience. But I believe that if you're asking questions, like I'm asking you, like, really, what's holding you back? What I did a survey the other day and I said, what's the one thing that's in your way for doing video? Oh my God, I got so many comments that went back on it, you know? So asking questions is great. Another thing for engagement is please don't bore your audience. And that's, you know, you could write that in big right now. Don't be boring. And boring means one note, talking the same, always on the same level, same thing all the time. It's really sweet. It's very proper, but you will snooze them out. So remember, you need to have a variety of sounds. Even if it's uncomfortable for you, you have to exaggerate when it comes to the camera because a big, huge portion of it gets just lost, you know? So you might think, oh, this sounds fake. Well, it's not that you're fake. It's just that you're getting, you know, they're losing half of you. So you have to have some pitch, you know, you go fast and you can slow down. You know, you got, if you move, and even the volume, when I start to whisper right now about what's happening over here, and then I go, God, this is great. You can change the tones and then your brain isn't, you know, zoning out on this. Have you ever heard a speaker that speaks for 30 minutes at one tone? You know, you're going, hello, Eckhart. Who is it? Eckhart Tolle? Do you know who he is? Eckhart Tolle?
Yeah.
Eckhart, please, you're putting us to sleep. He's brilliant, but he talks like he's asleep. You know, I'm like, oh my God, I can do Eckhart for 10 minutes. And then he'll giggle. But what it is, you have to, here's the answer to your question. To get engagement, you have to be engaging. How engaging are you? And you can ask for feedback from your colleagues and friends. On a scale of 1 to 10, how exciting am I when I talk? And they go, dude, you're kind of a 3. Well, you got to start working. And then you go to strangers that don't know you on a scale of 1 to 10. How do you think I sound to you? And they're like, you know, really honestly, you think I'm upbeat. You think I'm more, you know, what this. And I'm not saying to be like me or anyone else, but most speakers that are famous or good or big or go viral or you listen to are dynamic. And dynamic is different for everyone. But dynamic is dynamic. And I think that would be some, you know, to upgrade where you're at. How dynamic are you? That's my question.
Yeah.
Does that help? Does that make sense a little bit?
Yeah, it certainly helps. I like dynamic because I think that, you know, dynamic can be different things for different people, but it still gives you that sense of it's not monotone, it's not boring, it's not the same pace. Dynamic is always changing, always variety. So, yeah, Love
yeah, it's like taking an improv class. If you ever, and you're not an actor, but you go take an improv. What improv does is they try to get you to play off of one scene, and then you'd play off of what I just said, and then we play around with different things just for the exercise of just getting out of your own, you know, your own head. And you can also do videos on something goofy, like just on your own. I'll have my clients, I go, look, I want you to do a video as a crazy person. And then I want you to do, I do. And then I want you to do a video as a very, very low self-esteem, very, I mean, Debbie Downer, boring, sad. And then, so I want you to see contrast, and then it'll kind of bring it back to, I got to up level this. I went to my voice coach years ago, and I'm pretty loud and I'm dynamic. And I remember I went into his for a session, and he said, Lisa, you know, you're not really loud enough. And I went, what are you talking about? He goes, no, most people nowadays are whispering and they think it's cool. And it's awful. It's become a society of whisperers and nobody can hear anything. I'm like, that's a good tip. So don't whisper.
Yeah.
Yeah. And can I add one more thing? Because this is good. Another thing on engagement is that you have to decide. It's kind of a loaded answer, but you have to decide what type of video you have. You know, we're not getting into specifics right now, but there's a few types. There's the type that are a lesson where you're teaching something. You're actually teaching. You're there for the purpose of teaching, and you still have to have variety, right? But then you might have a video that's more of a rant, like you're upset. There's something wrong here. Something's bad here. Something needs to change. So that's another tone, you know? And then there's a video that, hey, we're not alone. You're not alone here. We're here to support you. We've got your back, you know? And then what's another one? You know, you're not taking any action. We got to get your butt going. You know, you're so dead what you're doing right now. So there's different types of videos that cause different types of engagement. And sometimes, you know, business owners like, this one CEO I'm working with, he's from Russia. He's in a big tech thing, but his staff doesn't listen to him. And his videos are like, he's barking and he's yelling. And I'm going, you're going to have to change this up just on some key words. So those are some of the things to look at to make your videos not be all the same.
Mm. Yeah, that's a really good point. So kind of start with knowing what is the engagement you want, and what's the kind of what's the word I'm looking for? What's the context of the message that you're sending? Yeah,
absolutely. Right now, there's a big message that's needed to be sent, just in case. Is that people need some happiness? People need to lighten up. I mean, there is all kinds of heavy subjects going on. I'm not saying to invalidate those, but there's another man that I study. I don't know if you've heard of Chris Voss. So, in fact, Steve Sims interviewed Chris Voss. Chris Voss was one of the top negotiators for the FBI for hostage negotiation. And he was talking about how it didn't matter if it was a terrorist or whatever, as long as it wasn't a schizophrenic, all the human brain and how it listens is the same. Like, we have to hear different sounds to get people to take action. And it's a really fascinating subject, how you sound.
Yeah. All right. Well, this is wonderful, Lisa. I could go on talking to you for ages about video and how to be compelling on video and how to get your message across. So there's so much great advice you've shared, but I am aware of the time. So I think it's a good point to move on to the Buzz, which is our innovation round. And it's designed to help our audience, who are primarily innovators and leaders in their field, with some tips from your experience. So I've got five questions, and hopefully you'll give us some really insightful answers and inspire the listener to go and do something awesome today as a result.
Nice. All right. Mm.
So number one question is, what's the number one thing anyone needs to do to be more innovative?
To be more innovative. Wow, I just love that question. I believe to be more innovative right now is that you do need to get out there and do something different on camera. I mean, it sounds like a simple answer, but how innovative have you been on camera? Seriously, how innovative, how creative have you been? And there's so many options to get creative right now with video, technology, music, you know, getting out there and really seeing, studying what does your audience need to hear, and then replicate that in a way on video or on camera or live.
Mm. Love it. Yeah. Mm. And as you say, there's so many tools out there now that makes it so easy to get on video, and it certainly will take many people out of their comfort zone, which is, I think, helpful to be more innovative.
But you know what else, though, too, is that there are so many apps now. Like, I just found an app called Promo, P-R-O-M-O. Honestly, it's like nothing. It's $20 a month or something. The video, they have 100,000 Getty images, millions of videos. You literally just use any of their stuff, put your name in and whatever you want to say, and there's these amazing videos, and you can drop your video in. So yeah, technology could make a simple small business look absolutely innovative without having to have a big team or dropping tons of, you know, money on it. And if you do have a budget, then, you know, you use other videographers. You work with Greg Roulette, you work with Jay Menez. You know, there's just a lot of different people. But right now there's no excuse to say, oh, I really don't have it in our budget. You can do this stuff for free and get somebody to edit it so easy for $20 even. Honestly, that, I mean, it sounds silly, but there's so many levels of how you can look so amazing, and it's costing nothing. That's innovative.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Great. Love that advice. All right. Now, what's the best thing you've done to develop new ideas?
Well, there's a couple of things. Besides being brilliant, you mean? That kind of thing? You know,
yeah,
what
apart
I,
from that.
Apart from that. You know what it is? I'm willing to step out of my comfort zone. But for me to be innovative, I study creative films and speakers and looks and health. I'm really into, you know, alternative health and being in my best shape, you know, eating the right foods, all the things that are part of my lifestyle. But I am intrigued. I'm totally intrigued by what is something creative we could do, you know, to really stand out. And I love that. And I study great mentors. I mean, my goodness, who do we not have to look at? We have anybody we want to look at any subject. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's so good.
Yeah. The time we live in is exciting, isn't it? I was thinking about it the other day that I sometimes think to myself, I need to actually create something here because I'm spending so much time learning from other people, but I've got to actually take some of that stuff and create things from it. I've got to find a balance between the two times, but the opportunity...
No, You're absolutely right. And that, you know, I'm hearing it half of what you're saying now in a different way. I hear exactly what you're saying. You know, how do I doing it? And to qualify what I'm saying, you're right. We know enough. On the other hand, we know enough. We don't need any more. We got it all. If we didn't learn anything else right now, what are we putting into action that we're willing to risk looking bad, like willing to test? Because testing, that's why they have pilot programs on television. That's why they have a test, A/B testing. People are scared to test and get feedback. Come up with whatever you want and get some feedback. And then at the end of the day, if you don't like the feedback, do whatever you want anyway. It's being creative and doing what turns you on, what your passion is in life. Because if whatever you're doing, I don't care what business it is, it's got to be something that you love it. You just love it. If you don't love it, none of this is going to work.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
You should, right?
You'll be doing something else if you don't love it.
Exactly. Market that. You know, people are pivoting, especially in their 50s and 60s. A lot of people are 30 years in a company. Boom, they're now being a coach. 25 years at AT&T or another, you know, at an airline. Boom, they're now going, now I'm going to be, you know, a mentor in this. Great. You know, people are like, oh, I got to start over. I'm pivoting. You're not starting over. You're taking your whole life's experience, your genius, and now you're putting it out. And that is innovative. You don't even know what could come out of it.
That's right. Yeah. Like you said before, something as mundane as pressing a record button on a phone to send somebody an audio message, you consider it to be mundane and ho-hum. And somebody else says, wow, that is amazing. How did you do that?
I know. Exactly. Yep.
So yeah, we've got a lot inside of us already.
We do so much. That was my tagline in my makeup company, is that we bring out the celebrity in you. Like we're all, one time somebody gave me feedback when I was putting together my makeup business a while back, and they go, well, I don't really like the word celebrity. I said, well, then you're not a celebrity, okay? I'm talking celebrity in your own mind. Whatever adjectives work for you, you know?
Yeah.
You're being the best of you are, that people like it and you like it. You actually, at the end of the day, you're speaking, you know what I mean? Like, I'm speaking because I love talking to you, and you're great to talk to, but I can't worry, oh, the podcast audience, oh, they might not like me, they might this or that. No, they're going to love me or they're not. What are we going to do about it? You know, go with the lowest denominator? No, we just have to be innovative and keep, you know, going for it, and then get a team around you that supports your dream. Because sometimes, you know, if you become this lone wolf, you can talk yourself out of it, just as you could talk yourself out of going up to a camera and going, oh, I can't do this. I just can't do this. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. That's right. So yeah, lots of great advice in there. Get help and work with other people. And also, the idea of serving your audience.
Yeah. Awesome.
And it's okay if people don't like you.
I don't care at this stage in my life. I don't know. Do you like me? If you like me, Jerka, do you like me? If you like me, I feel happy.
Absolutely.
Okay?
Yeah.
I made one person happy today. It's great. I know people are like, what if they don't like the video? What if? Well, compared to who? Like what? Yeah. If you want to really be great, study who's the great speakers, the great whatever, you know, innovators or whatever it is. Study, you know, like Tony Robbins says, success leaves a clue. We don't have to reinvent the wheel. There's a lot of things that are here, but there are a lot of people in business that they do need to change. They need to get off the old way of doing business. You can't stay in the past. You have to be, you keep what really is smart and works, you know, the part where that, you know, like, oh, this person's a genius at that area. But then you got to figure out what's the vibe right now. In fact, we have to be looking at where are we going now? You know, who knows what's next when it comes to this whole way that we've all changed. So we have to be so flexible, and you know what I mean? Like, so I find it a different time right now, and it's yummy and it's scary. So what are we going to do? You know, freak out? No, got to keep moving forward.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because you mentioned, you know, it's a different time right now. We've all been challenged by the pandemic and what that's done in terms of lockdown and businesses shutting down and so on. And it has forced a lot of people who haven't used the online tools as much to kind of discover online tools. I mean, Zoom's become a verb. It's almost like Google, you know, Google's that verb now for search, and Zoom's become a verb for having a virtual meeting online with video, which is quite amazing. And everybody now has discovered that it's actually not that difficult to do things like have a virtual conference or have a virtual meeting with somebody. So it'll be interesting to see how much of that plays out when we get back to whatever the new normal looks like.
It's going to be interesting because I saw, what's his name, Russell Brunson, the owner of ClickFunnels. Are you familiar with ClickFunnels? And he's doing a virtual thing, and his commercial, his ad was just great. He films this guy or family in the living room, on the floor, comfortable with his laptop. Then he's in the kitchen eating. Then he's over here just relaxed. And what it is here's where the new 3-day seminar is. You don't need a hotel. You don't need the restaurants. I mean, there are just, you know, you can go to it. Some people are going to Airbnbs. So they're kind of, you know, people, of course, will always want to have live stuff. But until it starts to flow again, we're trying to make you feel like, okay. But see, my hang up I have, which is good, is on Zoom. And I'm going to actually start doing some more coaching with Zoom people, because I go crazy because they're loud and they're making noises and their camera sucks. And I'm like, oh my God, it's a nightmare for me. I can't watch it. Like, I don't want it to look perfect, but
you mentioned earlier about the distractions of people are playing with the virtual backgrounds.
Yeah, oh my God, I can't take it. Have you ever been on a Zoom where there's 25? You're going, okay, this is crack cocaine and say, it looks like a Looney Tune band and I have to mute everything. I go, I can't handle this. Please let the host have the full screen. Stop showing all of us. We don't need us. We're just moving around like little crazy people. I don't like it. So we got to work on the Zoom etiquette, okay?
So coaching for how to do Zoom.
I'm going to do that. Thank you. That's going to be one of my trainings. I'll let you know when it comes out, okay?
Great. I'd love to help you with that.
Exactly.
All right. Well, what's a favorite resource of yours that you use most often?
Oh, you know, I just learned a new one. Is it Quora? Quora? Quora?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Of course. But just if you want to find out where's the vibe on a subject, I do that. I mean, resources, you know, I am on Facebook a lot. I just love Facebook. There's education, there's speakers, there's what I like right now is if I have a question on anything technical, I can put it out and there's the resource. What do they say? Mark Zuckerberg is our resource. Mark Zuckerberg is our email list. There's just, you know, and there's so many others, but I needed a doctor for my knee. I threw my knee out 10 days ago. I do a thing on Facebook looking for a resource. Where can I find somebody to help me? Boom, 36 people. I'm like, oh my goodness. Is that what you mean? That kind of thing? Like resources?
Yeah, that's good. Social proof kind of thing as well, isn't it? Because people say, well, we recommend this person because they're good.
And I still, you know, I believe, I mean, I love it. YouTube is a how-to, you know, search engine. It's just tons of it. And all the social media stuff, I think there's just so much education. And on the other hand, you know, looking for medical things sometimes online is every doctor will go, do not Google it. Do not Google it because it'll have you down for the count, you know, so we don't do it.
Yeah. Well, that's definitely, I mean, there's a level of skepticism, I guess, you have to bring to all of those searches and say, well, you know, how good is this information? And I think that's a healthy thing to do. But I agree with you. I mean, I love to do how-to searches on YouTube. And whenever I get stuck with something, I think, oh, I just do a how-to on YouTube. And you'll find, and, you know, we're talking video, the power of somebody on a video demonstrating something that where you can actually see how they're doing it is amazing.
And you know, and sometimes have you ever like watched a YouTube video and you're going, wait a minute, they're doing this too fast. I'm thinking, stop the video, Lisa.
Yeah.
Stop the video. I'm like, oh, I forgot. You know, just for a second, because I got so engaged with what they're saying. So we have no excuse for anything for not learning.
Well, sometimes I'll do in parallel on the other screen, I'll do what they're doing, try and follow along. And I often say to them, oh, slow down. I missed that bit. And then I do a rewind.
But on the other hand, what I'm doing right now, I'm doing a new launch. I'm doing a new group. I'm doing some challenges of coming alive on camera. By the time this comes out, it might be up. It's come alive on camera on Facebook, and it's a challenge. But there's a lot. I do a little bit of email marketing and different things, but I'm done. I'm getting someone to help me with the funnel and a few other things. But I'm keeping it more simple because, again, I go back to, I believe the power of video and being online. I mean, this is the wave of the future. People are not reading big, huge websites anymore, big, huge blogs. I mean, there's always going to be readers, but people's attention span need video for everything. They just do.
All right. Well, you mentioned that challenge. What's the best way, you know, to keep a client on track with something like that?
Well, this challenge that I'm doing is a 5-day challenge. So it's really cool. It's kind of the wave of the future too, where what's happened is that you have a particular subject. So mine is going to be on Facebook, and it's for anyone who's stalling. They're just stalling to get on camera. They've taken too much time. They're business people, entrepreneurs, speakers, and they know a lot of stuff, you know, but they just aren't knocking it out the way they need on the camera. So the challenge is a 5-day challenge. Well, I'll be teaching and then putting them out to doing exercises. And at the end of this week, they'll have conquered what I teach them about being on camera and having confidence, because I go as a camera confidence coach. And then after the challenge, if they want to get into my bigger programs, then I have more 30-day program, and I do one-on-one coaching too. But the challenge is great because the challenge causes interaction of the people in the group so they can give each other feedback while they're learning or following what I'm showing them to advance them. And what it's good for me is that I can survey who's in front of me. Let's say I have 100 people in this challenge, or 50, whatever I have, 500, 50, it doesn't matter. I can say where I want to go with the challenge, but by having this challenge group in front of me, I can tailor it and move so that this group at the end of the week, based on where they're at and what I'm showing, they're going to advance. And to me, I really like that better than the whole webinar idea where you're just actually presenting. But a challenge, it's interacting. And then you take it from the next step. So that's where I'm going to be moving my business, that direction of working with people that way.
Yeah. I love those challenges. Because they build community, which is gives support and reinforcement, and also gives kind of that mastermind effect where people contribute their knowledge. And often what happens is, I mean, I find myself in those things. I contribute something. I say, why don't you try this? And then I think to myself, well, I should take that advice too. It's actually something that I
You know what? My friend that's in a challenge, he's in Rio de Janeiro, and he's really smart on a ton of stuff. And he goes, he was telling me different things that I should be doing. He goes, I need to do that too. And I'm like, of course you do. We can all coach each other. I'm telling everybody else what to do. And I'm like, help me with this. So yeah, and see what happens when you're the facilitator of, or you know, it's your business. Obviously you're going to monetize on the challenge if you're, you know, you're wanting to grow your business. So taking that point of view, being the person doing it, it's a great way, because it's all done on social media now. Let's just take Facebook. It's right in there. And I'm seeing people doing challenges on tons of subjects, from grief to, you know, any subject you can think of. Mm. And I think it's the new wave. We're going to start seeing more of challenges, because it really does move you more than just, you know, you can have evergreen webinars and videos and training sessions and YouTube videos. Those are all good. But at the end of the day, wouldn't you like the guy in the video to come out with you and we hang or talk to each other? So challenges allows you to do a little bit of more interacting with no risk. There's no risk, because you're in the challenge and you decide what your result is, not the facilitator, not the owner. They're saying, hey, here's what I got. You want to go try it? And then you decide if you're going to go for it or not. So it's kind of cool.
Great. All right. The last question of the buzz round is, what's the number one thing you think anyone can do to differentiate themselves?
Wow. Number one. Well, that's a great question. You mean number one, like for other people to look at you, or just in general, what differentiate? I want to dig deeper on that question. What do you mean?
In general, you know, there's this idea in the business world that you've got to be unique and different. One of my things, you know, you mentioned earlier that success leaves clues, Tony Robbins' philosophy, and we can look at people we admire and who are successful in things that we want to be successful at, and we can learn from them and model from them. But a lot of people take that to the extreme of, well, I'll be another one of that person, I'll copy that person, and it comes across as inauthentic. So, there's kind of the two sides of that coin, I guess.
Yeah, no, it's a great question. No, I just wanted to be clear what you were saying on that. Yeah, I mean, the obvious is there is no one like you. There is no one like me. No one. So if people are trying to be unique and different, it's good news, bad news. There is no different. There really isn't. And no one is like you. I mean, do you know anybody that looks like you or talks like you? Exactly. You know, you're a special sauce. And the thing that makes you unique is you knowing that. You owning it is all that matters. Because at the end of the day, we go back to the highest denominator, lowest denominator. Someone's always going to think you're something. And you're always going to be judged. You're always going to be scored by your money, by your numbers, by you know. But who, you have to decide what's your through line, you know, what do you stand for? At the end of the day, when you're gone, or you leave your legacy, or you're retired, or whatever it is, or even as you're living right now, how would people that know you define you? Because that's how people see you is how you're showing up, and you show up differently. But there could be, you know, a trend of it. And I think what also is a great question about what you're asking is, how about, what would it take you to have a breakthrough and have transformation so that you're growing even more, but you're still the same person. You're still the kid at high school. You're still, you know what I mean? We're always who we are, but our brain is where we decide we're not enough, or that we're fat. And then some people think that they're hot, you know, and they're actually not. They're kind of a mess. They're like, dude, you know, I give you credit for owning it, but please ask once in a while, hey, ask me a question. You want to ask me a question? Always ask people questions and find out, hey, how am I doing? Like, how am I doing on the interview right now with you? Am I doing okay? I
mean, doing really well.
I want to ask that, because I don't want to just hang up and go, God, how did I do? I mean, I'll ask you that when I hang up.
Yeah.
That's what I mean, checking in with each other, because that's what makes you unique. Who does that? Great people do that, and selfish people don't. And if you're in that tribe that's a giver and out there caring and checking in, then you can pivot, you can shift, and you go, oh, what does my customer need? What are they asking for? Especially now, you know, where we're at right now. And what support do you need? How can I help you? You know, colleagues and things. So I think that makes you stand out at the end of the day. You want to go to, you want to, like, I want to go, I want to meet Steve Sims in person, have lunch and drinks with his group because they're fun. I want to hang out with the fun people that do really well in business, but they're not, you know, egotistical. And one last thing, when I was a flight attendant, I flew all over the world for 10 years. I met a million people, especially as a senior flight attendant, celebrities, you know, just all types of sports, dignitaries, politicians. And at the end of the day, the people that stood out to me were only people that were nice. I mean, I had some famous people and I go, that person's a dud. I don't care how famous, they're a dud. They're going to be unhappy. So if you're nice, you're going to stand out, you know, and times keep changing. You know,
that's great advice. And it doesn't cost much to be nice. It's pretty cheap.
It is. I love it.
Yeah, I love that. So really, it's sort of this self-awareness is really important, and owning who you are and being a little bit humble, I guess, in terms of asking other people, you know, am I on the right track? Am I doing well? Can I help you in any other way? Yeah.
I heard another speaker. I don't know if you, there's a movie that came out called Molly's Game. Kevin Costner was in it. It was a story of this girl, Molly Bloom, and she headed the biggest gambling poker tables around the world way back, I don't know, 10 years or so. She was arrested with the FBI and had to get over it. And she didn't really do anything illegal, but they tried to set her up. She was running this gambling thing that was doing $100 million a night in this poker room. So she, now fast forward, she's a motivational speaker. She's, you know, her book and her movie's been out. So they asked her the question, what made you really smart when you were, because it was an all male kind of deal, this poker, you know, poker thing. And she said that she learned meditation. And she said that meditation made her dangerous. And they said, what do you mean by that? She goes, because meditation caused her to be able to really calm down her brain and really be able to go in and figure out and listen to where the gamblers were and where the people were, and then figured out what they needed, you know, by really getting in and finding out what their needs were, that they didn't even know that she was kind of, she was dangerously manipulating them in to keep coming back to her beautiful setting, beautiful food. And so she was listening and discovering and finding out what their needs were. So you do have to ask, because that it is being vulnerable, but there's many ways to ask.
Yeah. That's a great story about really understanding what your clients are looking for and what they want.
Yep, it's great. It's awesome.
Well, thanks, Lisa. This has been really fabulous. Now, where can people find out more about you and maybe even join that Come Alive on Camera challenge that you mentioned and otherwise get in touch and say thanks for what you've shared with us today?
Oh, you're so welcome. Yeah, it was so much fun. I love talking. It's so cool that you're in Australia and I'm over here. That's innovative. Hello, did we do this 10 years ago? No.
Yeah.
It's great. So I have a couple of ways. One is I am on Facebook all the time, and I will be on Facebook when you hear this. So it's Lisa Monette, and you'll have it written right in the prompt there.
Yes.
Monette, Lisa Monette, and I do live in Las Vegas, so I think there's a couple of Lisa Monettes. So feel free to you know, direct message me on that. And my group coming out will be called Come Alive on Camera. But Lisa Monette, and then my website has most of my beauty products from my professional makeup side. It has a little bit of coaching on there too. So you can just see that side of it. And it's called badassbeautytv.com. So it's badassbeautytv. And TV stands for transformational videos, because when you do these videos, you are transforming other people and yourself. So badassbeautytv.com. But come to Facebook. I love Facebook. It's so much fun.
Great. All right. And we will have links to all of those in the show notes today. Yeah. I love the TV stands for transformational video.
Yeah. Isn't that great? I love it.
All right. So do you have a parting piece of advice for our listener today, Lisa?
Oh my gosh. You know, it's a beautiful question, and I really didn't, you know, pre-read this. So thank you for asking that. I think, you know, there's a time right now where there's a lot of split going on. People are questioning a lot of different things. And I, you know, some people aren't sure of what's next. You know, they're not sure about health. They're not sure about business. And, you know, my philosophy is, man, if we can just live in the moment and be grateful for what we have, to have fun with what we're doing. And if we notice that we're getting thrown off or we're getting triggered by whatever, that we kind of, you know, regroup, come back, and just have, you know, fun with life, because life's too short to be too serious and, you know, get that message out. But I think by sharing and just knowing like, hey, I got to focus out when I'm stressed. I think your life's going to be, it's all going to come back to you even more.
Hmm. Great advice. Yeah. Enjoy the journey.
Yeah.
All right. Finally, Lisa, who would you like me to chat with on a future Innova Buzz podcast and why?
Oh, well, I just mentioned, have you met Chris Voss?
No, I haven't.
I love Chris Voss. He, like I said, he was the FBI head negotiator, and he just works on your brain, and he works with corporations on how to negotiate. Negotiations is everything when it comes to sales, right? You can use the word negotiate. You can say negotiations, hostage. You can be hostage with your kids. You can be hostage with your spouse. You can be hostage in your company. So Chris Voss is somebody that I think is absolutely amazing. I don't know Chris Voss, but I think he's great. And then there's another friend of mine that's great. His name is Jay Menez. He's on Instagram, and he actually filmed with Steve Sims. He films with Roger Love. We're both on Roger Love's team. Roger Love is a celebrity voice coach. He's amazing. So those three gentlemen, I think are fabulous. I know a lot of people. So you tell me how many you want to know.
As many as possible.
Okay. I will tell you.
Yeah. We'll get some more introductions later from you. So we'll see if we can get Chris and Jay and Roger on a future Innova Buzz podcast, and we'll have chats with them about all things, well, negotiation and video and voice.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Those guys are great. And I have female friends too that are really great. They're like, hello. I'm like, I'm just thinking of who I know right now. Okay, hold on.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, wonderful. Fine. All right, Lisa. Well, thanks so much for sharing your time and your insights with us so generously today. I really appreciate it. I've had a lot of fun. I've really enjoyed it. And I've learned quite a bit as well. I've got a whole page of notes here that we'll work up into the show notes for this episode. And I wish you all the best for the future, and let's stay in touch.
I will. I want to see your videos. You got to send them to me. I want to check them out, okay? thank you so much. It was so much fun. My pleasure.
I hope you enjoyed that delightfully engaging and really interesting conversation with Lisa and took something away from her episode. One of the highlights for me was Lisa's approach to trying different things and pushing to a breakthrough while still keeping your own unique identity. Of course, continuous practice and getting feedback to improve are important for your on-camera appearance, as they are, in fact, for everything. I'd love to know what you took away from Lisa's episode. Leave a comment below the blog post, which you can find at innovabiz.co/Lisa Monette. That is LISA MONETTE. All lowercase, all one word, innovabiz.co/Lisa Monette. You'll also find contact information for getting in touch with Lisa there, as well as links to her website, her Facebook page, including the Come Alive on Camera Challenge, and the other resources we spoke about in today's conversation. Lisa suggested that we have a conversation with author of Never Split the Difference and former FBI negotiator, Chris Voss, with author, speaker, and talk show host, Jay Menez, and with speech trainer and vocal coach, Roger Love, on future Innova Buzz podcast episodes. Three guests for the price of one. So Chris, Jay, and Roger, keep an eye on your inboxes for an invitation from us to the Innova Buzz podcast, courtesy of Lisa Monette. Tune in again to the next episodes of the Innova Buzz podcast, where we've got even more fantastic guests lined up, including leadership and business coach Chad Cooper and CEO of 6 Point Creative, Megan Lynch. Thanks for listening to this episode. Make sure you subscribe to the show to be reminded of new episodes. It's free to subscribe. Leave a review if you like. Even if you don't like me, I'm okay with that. I'm asking you to leave a review because it helps other people find this show. Go to innovabiz.co to join our marketing transformation community and access a free gift my team and I made for you. It's the Marketing Master Mini Class. We want to give you everything you need to transform your marketing into a human-centered, relationship-focused growth engine. Until next time, I'm Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz. Remember, be awesome and keep innovating.